Hi, you're listening to the FASD Success Show podcast with Jeff Noble. Today, we're going down under to talk to my friend and birth mom, Angeline Bruce. Angeline is a Caregiver Kickstart alumni, and she is very honest and forthright about her past. We're going to talk about her dependency on alcohol and her pregnancy, but also, and more importantly, her path to recovery and acceptance. We're going to talk about how her relationship with her son is involved, what his strengths are, what he's doing now, her motivation to actually join our Caregiver Kickstart coaching program, how she moved past that fear, what she's gained, some of her biggest aha moments, the absolute evolution you're going to hear from someone who is lost and alone to an advocacy rock star with future goals and plans, and she's a mover and shaker. So get things together, get your shoes on, get your boots on, and let's get after it.
Welcome to the FASD Success Show, the only podcast where you can get real-world information about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. This show will help you create calm in the chaos, have hope for the future, and more importantly, save your sanity so you don't lose your flipping mind. Now, here's your host, caregiver turned world FASD educator, Jeff Noble.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 84. So if this is your first episode or your 84th episode, thank you so much for joining me. I just know how much your time matters. I know if you're raising an individual with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder that you don't get much precious time, so the fact that you are spending this time with me, trust me, it does not go unnoticed, and it is really appreciative. So that's why I try and do my best. This show is all about success. It's about FASD success. It's about its success with individuals. It's success for the caregivers or anybody who is in an individual's life to make their lives better, to make your lives better. How do we do that? We do that by talking to some of the coolest people on the planet in respect to the FASD arena. Things they're doing. We're talking to doctors. We're talking to lawyers. We're talking to individuals on the spectrum. We're talking to caregivers. And today, we're going to be talking to a kick-ass birth mom. You're going to love her. She's going to give you lots of really good golden nuggets. Because how this came about, she wasn't originally supposed to be on the podcast. In fact, the next few podcast episodes weren't meant to be podcast episodes. And I'll tell you about that in a sec. But before I do, if you've been listening to the show and you like the show, can you do me a favor? Can you subscribe to our show? It's going to help me. It's going to help you. It helps you because as soon as we drop a new episode, it's going to go to your podcast player. It's going to go right into your telephone and say, hey, we got a new one. Come check us out. So you don't have to go searching for any episodes. B, it helps us because it tells the algorithms, the beep boops in the background, that our show is relevant. People are digging it. And so if someone is looking for FASD information, it tells them about us. And you never know. Just the fact that you subscribe, you can help people out. So I think that's a win-win for both of us. Also, we are rocking the Caregiver Kickstart workshop. I don't know if you know this, but we have just open up registration for our yearly, our once a year free Caregiver Kickstart workshop. And since we've opened up registration not too long ago at all, we've had 648 people registered. And I'm assuming by the time our workshop starts on the 18th, that is going to be doubled. So if you have not, this workshop is all about giving you a deeper understanding of FASD so you can have better days at home and get those who do not understand FASD around you, get them on board, okay? I am doing 3 free live broadcasts, like live sessions, one on the 18th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Toronto, New York, one on the 20th, so the Wednesday, and one on the 22nd, which is the Friday. They're going to be about 90 minutes long. I have never done them before live, ever. So if I go over a little bit, I apologize. If you can't make it, it will be recorded and I'll send it to you, the recording, right after. But also, when we go live, we're going live in our private Facebook group that is just for this workshop. I've already had the doors open. People are already mixing it up in there. We've been chatting. People have been sharing. It's been excellent. So if you've already registered, thank you so much. If you haven't joined the Facebook group yet, you should have gotten the link with your registration details and jump in there, because even though it doesn't start until the 18th, we're starting to build community. I want us to know each other and to be familiar, so it's not like that weird starting tipping point when you go to a workshop or you jump on a Zoom and you're just nervous and you don't know what's going on. Before you start watching, before I broadcast live, I want us to know each other. And so this is just the natural extension. And so the live sessions are going to be awesome. You're going to hear a lot about it. And I'm not sorry, because I just do this once a year and it can change your life. So back to what I was talking about, Angeline was not supposed to be a podcast guest. What I've been doing for the last 3 years is I have been doing interviews for the Caregiver Kickstart workshop to let people know what it's like with our full-blown coaching program, which I'm going to open registration for at the end of the free workshop, okay? I'm going to work as hard as I can to invite you to go on this 6 month journey with us, and I'm going to teach my heart out. But during that, I like to show real live examples of people who have taken the coaching program and are kicking ass. And it's not just fluff. It is like, what did people learn? Actual aha moments that you can even take from here, from this interview. So to register, all you have to do is go to www.fasdsuccess.com/CKS workshop. Name, email, boom, you're in. You'll get a registration confirmation in your email. So don't forget to check all your other folders if it doesn't come into your inbox, because emails be sneaky. Because they're supposed to be smaller. They're supposed to be shorter in terms of a case study to respect the time and to get the teaching portion in and, you know, just to make things flow. But as she kept talking, I was like, I am not interrupting, because the courage and just a transformation you can hear in her story of where she started and what she's doing now, it's totally two different people. And the time that she's been able to do this in is remarkable. So I call it throwing stigma out the window, because she mentions that in the interview. And she's a birth mom. She's such a great example. And we can start changing the conversation about FASD and maybe start changing the way in which you look at birth moms, a way that society looks at birth moms. I love birth moms. I believe my mom, you know, is also a birth mom. So you're going to love it. All right. So Angeline Bruce, is from Australia, and she has her little boy. And I don't want to go into this long bio, but she's working with a university now, and she's advocating. She's just really kicking ass. She's doing a great job. So we're going to go through. It was a case study. So I'm going to say in the actual interview, I'm going to say the word case study, because that's what it was meant for. But it's too awesome not to share with y'all. So get those golden nuggets. But of course, I'll be back after the interview to go over the most pertinent points. All right, so if I'm ready, you're ready, let's go. Hey, everybody, here I am with another case study. I am here with another Caregiver Kickstart alumni, Angeline Bruce. Angeline, all the way from Australia, thank you so much for doing this, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome. It's lovely to be here, Jeff.
Yeah, we always love you in the group when you're talking, and always the chats are saying, oh, we could just hear Angeline talk all day. But you know you have an accent, right?
Yes. Well, no, I know you guys have an accent.
We have an accent. Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you doing this. You know, people toss around the terms like brave and, you know, when they're talking about a birth mom, but I would say more like confident and sure, because it's not easy. So I want to talk a little bit. Who do you got at home? Who's your guy on the spectrum? We'll start there.
My son is 12 years old, and I was a physically dependent alcoholic when I fell pregnant. So yeah, that I have him. He has FASD and he is diagnosed. So that's what we've got going on here.
And so, because there's a lot of stigma associated with FASD. Now, you were an alcoholic, I'll say that, right? So you were drinking. Were you even given information about FASD?
No, I wasn't. I did disclose to my OBGYN that I was alcoholic and that I was in full flight. And the response I got was, alcohol is no good for the baby. You must stop that. Anybody that knows anything about alcoholism knows that it just isn't that simple.
Yeah.
And it was more in the tone that I received, Jeff. I received this tone that I wasn't jumping out of my skin to bring it up again after that. So yeah, it was
like a shaming.
Very stigmatizing. Yes. Yes.
And you're like, buddy, difficult. If I could, I would. Right?
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
People, that's the stigma about alcoholism in general, like that people just think that it's a choice. But we're not here to debate choice or disease. Okay, so after he said that to you, and you did have substance abuse issues, and it's a freaking addiction and a disease. So did you feel it was, I guess, immense guilt? Like, I don't know, what did you feel?
Oh, immense guilt. I muddled through by myself, and I cut down as much as I could without making myself go into withdrawal, because then he would actually get sick.
Right.
So a really important thing that I like to mention about that is, aside from stopping drinking, which I was unable to do, I really went out of my way to do everything else that I could. My diet was good. My sleep was good. My exercise was good. I took a prenatal vitamin, went to every appointment. I also have Rh negative blood. I had to have anti-D shots as well. So I made sure my prenatal care was as good as it could be, because I cut down as far as I could, but I could not stop drinking throughout the pregnancy. So I just want other birth mums to know, if they're in this position, that there are things that you can do. There are mitigating things that we can do as far as diet and everything else around the pregnancy. Yeah. So
in terms of harm reduction, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Right into harm reduction. Yeah.
So you have your boy and you're committed. And how long after, until you entered recovery, or when did that switch happen?
I was actually very proud of myself. I did give up drinking completely. Every time I did, he would get into distress. But just on 36 weeks, I had had enough. And it was at that point, my water spontaneously broke, and because he was in trouble also. And about 6 hours later, he was born. Naturally, so he'd have a low birth weight. This is quite common with FASD kids. So he had a low birth weight. He needed some oxygen for 24 hours. He needed a feeding tube for 48 hours. And he had a very low suck reflex, small head circumference, and usual things you would see. And to be honest, when he was born, there was about a minute delay before I heard anything from him, and everybody was crowded. I couldn't see anything. It was terrifying. But
Olivia did 25 seconds.
Here he is.
Yeah, like Olivia did 25 seconds. So I could only imagine like a minute, like, because you can't hear, right? And then they're taking the stuff out. And then. What was, and now some of this is just me and Jalene being fascinated by this, in terms of like, we see you now, right? And, you know, you're advocating, you're putting yourself out there. We often talk about when you put yourself out there on Twitter and people come back at you and you're like, whatever, it's the nature of the beast. What was your resolve like? Was it like, I'm a mom, I'm taking care of this kid, I'm doing, like, did you have to ease into that? What was your mindset like? Okay, this is what's going on. This is what I have to do.
Well, my journey, and I'll be totally honest about my journey, I was sober when I gave birth to Jay, and I tried to remain that way, but I didn't. I had some relapses, and there was a point in time where my son went over to live with his father through child protection, and that was a very difficult time. But now I realise I'm really grateful that, like, we had World War III, but now I'm super grateful that he was there to step up, because otherwise he would have ended up in foster care system, because, you know, I was physically there and he was clothed and fed, et cetera, et cetera. But emotionally, I wasn't doing the best job I could as a mother, because I was struggling with my own beast still. So I ended up being sober. I tried a lot of different sort of, and that's another thing I'd like to put out there for anybody.
Put it all out there. Whatever you want to put out there, Angeline, you just do it. Okay?
Yeah. The instances where people give up cold turkey, and, well, that's very dangerous. I'm not a doctor, social worker, lawyer, just like Jeff, but that is extremely dangerous to give up cold turkey if you are physically dependent. But be very, very careful about that, and the fact that relapse is very, very common.
Yes.
And there was a point in time when my son was living with his dad and I was not seeing him all that often, and it was very, very challenging. So I don't want to skew off into systems, because this is a different thing, but once the child goes into the system as a bio mum, it made it so much more difficult for me to stay on track. I was hardly seeing him. It was super, super difficult. And you've got to try and get sober, as well as a lot of very undignified things that I needed to perform several times on a weekly basis. So it was super hard. And I've got to admit, there was a time when I just said, you know what, this is too difficult. I just can't do this anymore. Maybe he's better off with his dad, but I'm his mother. And yeah, he wanted to be with his mother. So I had to keep going.
Oh, so he expressed that he wanted to be with you.
It was more his reaction at changeover. So he'd been with me for almost 2 years of his life, solid, like just me. And then all of a sudden he wasn't. So the anxiety at changeovers was palpable. He would scream the place down, basically. So yeah, it was fairly obvious that he was having a really tough time being away from me, which did motivate me further. It's a great motivation. It's terribly sad, but it was a really good motivator. And so but eventually I found a 12-step program. I had been through so many detoxes and rehab, so there's no shame there either. It takes. It really does.
You are one of the nicest people I talk to on the planet, Angeline. Like, so you, for our group, you shoot stigma out the window, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you're very welcome, but you are, like, considered just one of the groups. You're not the birth mom in the group. We have birth moms in the group, but you're not considered that. You're Angeline. You're another mom, right? And so that's a testament of your strength. I wish I had an eighth of the strength that you have. And it doesn't matter the motivators, it matters that you keep doing this. So your boy, he gets diagnosed, and this is just a proof to your character, because then you come to us. What was your motivation in joining the Caregiver Kickstart?
I'd looked on Facebook for several supports, because as we all know, there's not a lot out there. There's more now, which I'm very grateful for, but my son's 12. So I jumped onto some Facebook groups. Then I got onto the Caregiver Success Group, the big group. And yeah, I saw this lovely fella putting out free videos.
Yeah.
He was putting out free videos. So I watched the free videos. My son's three therapists and the school watched all the free videos.
Oh, right on.
And boy, did things change with them after those videos. So yeah, if you get the chance, show them to your therapists, because it really made a difference. And then I sort of caught the, you know, there's so much more that I can learn about this, and there's so much more that I can do for him and for myself and for my community, for schools, for education purposes. I sort of got bitten, for want of a better word.
Yeah, you got the bug, right?
I got the bug.
Was there always an affinity to want to advocate, or at first did you just jump into the coaching program to just learn more?
I jumped in to learn more. I was also advocating, but what really motivated me and sort of burned me in this way is that here in Australia, we have a pretty good healthcare system, and we have support packages for individuals with CASD. But my journey from diagnosis to three therapists, which all needed to be trained up in FASD by myself, and, you know, bless them, they all took it on board, and it's not their fault that they don't know. So many people don't know. And then getting onto the care package for him, that was navigation. That was a lot of navigation. I had some lovely people here in Australia that stepped up for free after I reached out on the Facebook groups, and they helped me. And I'd like to pay it forward, because it's, for me, it was very, very tricky navigating therapy, navigating diagnosis, navigating school, navigating. And I'd done a lot of that work myself, and it was really freaking hard. And I'd like to make it so it's not as hard for other birth mums. But yeah, I wanted to learn more, see what I could. And believe me, I thought that I knew a lot about FASD, but when I did the Caregiver Kickstart course, I had so many aha moments. Yeah, it's just a fabulous course. It really, really is. So
what was your experience as a birth mom, though? Were you apprehensive maybe for the stigma, or, you know, what was your experience as how others treated you?
I was a little bit apprehensive being the birth mum, because I know that a lot of people are fosters or adoptive parents, and So they're looking after FASD children, and, you know, birth mum may have done, you know, not very nice things. And so, yes, I was very concerned. I thought, oh, dear, you know, I am a birth mum here. So the buck stopped with me. That's not enough to, for me, as you've seen on Twitter and stuff, that's not enough to hold me back. Well, actually, I couldn't let that anxiousness hold me back. And I'm so glad that I didn't. The group is fabulous. Everybody in the group is so welcoming. I'm actually friends with on Facebook with a lot of them. Yeah, so, yeah, I was very fearful going in, but it was extremely warming. Everybody's welcoming. And I am really invested in a lot of people and their children's lives now after doing the Kickstart.
You have
the Kickstart program. It's amazing.
It's like instead of, you know, doing it on your own and it's hard, but you're still doing it. Now you have this group, right?
Yes. That
cares for your kid and you care for their kids. And now you have friends.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I have. Not only do I have friends, but I have friends that get it. Hmm. And anything, things can get said. You were in the Caregiver Kickstart. When we're talking, you can say stuff that you could never say on the street in a mother's group. In, you know, because other people, they just don't get it. But I love when you're saying something and all you can see on the screen is all these other heads going, yep, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when you know you've found your tribe. These people identify with what you're going through. And
there's two
reactions. I can't explain how it feels to have a tribe now, but it's just, I don't feel alone anymore. Also hard to explain how alone I felt at the start of all of this.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think
people watching this might know exactly what you're talking about, the loneliness. And
there
are two reactions when I'm coaching. One is nodding at the head, and two is the laughing at me. And that's fine. I'll take it as long as people are laughing. I don't mind being the butt of the jokes. You know, you said, I thought I knew about FASD, and then I came in here, and then I had some aha moments. What were some of those things that you've learned in the coaching program that help you or help something happen either with your advocacy or just your overall understanding of the disability?
Well, a lot happened with my son. As you can probably tell in this interview, I am a fast talker. And so the concept of slowing things down because his processing is impaired. So I actually tried the thing where I say something and then wait 15 seconds or so. And it's really hard to do because we just keep on talking. But I would ask him something, wait 15 seconds or so, and then he would answer. So I was seeing in real time how long it does take for it to process. And I realized that by the time I'm up to the third thing I'm saying, he's only just heard the first. So our communication, there's a lot of miscommunication going on because of this. And because my guy, like a lot of FASD kiddos, he takes things very literally. So if I can't afford to say something like, oh, fine, play your iPad, I don't care, because he will. That's exactly what he'll do.
And he won't stop, and he'll say, because you did. It's amazing. First, everybody hates awkward silences, but there's the power in silence and not only allowing your kid to process, but also when they are escalated, we're not adding more fuel to the fire. And sometimes, you know, we think our words are soothing when they're just making them more crazy, right? Because we just keep adding and piling it on. But yes, you're right. You win. I'm glad you picked that lesson up about just there's power in the silence. And we're giving your kiddos time to find the answer and think about it. Because so often than not, right? Not only do we speak fast, but we expect a fast answer.
Yes. Yes. And quite often my fast answer, I've been picking up on my fast answer, which is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Or okay. Mm-hmm. And I actually said the other night, do you have any idea what you just agreed to? No, not at all. No, he's honest.
He's so funny. He's such a good boy. Tell us about him. Like, tell us where he's at now. Like, he's a good boy. And I know you guys are dealing with lockdowns, but tell us some good stuff about your young man.
Yeah, he is a good boy. He's very, very kind. He's caring. He's extremely law-abiding, which I love, to the point where I will have to walk an extra distance to go to a crossing rather than jaywalk across the road to his speech therapy. So he's got some really strong superpowers. Another thing that I've learned, he has been tested, so his brain domains have been tested. And a very important thing for him is that his crystallized memory is impaired. So that means things like times tables, which are building blocks to maths, will never, ever stick. I heard his teacher saying yesterday, and this is why it's so important to learn your times tables off by heart. And I thought to myself, well, there's something I'll need to revisit again, because he cannot do that. But he will sit and read a novel and he can tell you what it's all about. So there are strengths, there are challenges, and all in all, he's just doing so well. And I put it all down to, well, his therapist. Since he's been in therapy, he has calmed down a lot, and that's simply more teaching me as well. For any parents out there, if I could give you one really good tip, I was guilty of it. When my son would get really upset, he'd run off down to the back of the house. And of course, being mum, I would chase him down to the back of the house because he's really upset. It made it worse. So it turned out in the end, and the caregiver kickstarts that helped with this as well, that I have to let him go. As long as he's safe, as long as everybody else is safe, he just goes and he'll have a cry, or he might tap his feet or something, and then he'll come back. But if I go after him, it's so much worse. So
because he's in a fight or flight. And yeah. If you interrupt him while he's in his flight, he's going to fight.
Yes. And I'm Mama Bear, you know, oh, come on, it's all right. So he's literally telling me, leave me alone. He's telling me what he wanted, but I wasn't listening. So sometimes when they're saying stuff like, leave me alone, or I just want to be alone, or something like that, you know, I needed to be listening more. So I did learn that. And hopefully I can circumvent that for some other people. If you're running after them, generally it will make it worse, or it did in my case. So as long as they're safe, maybe let them go for a little bit.
No, that's true. But it's these practical things that you learn here, and you learn how to build a team, right? And you end up having to subsequently teach your therapists about FASD and learning the skills to do it in a productive way where it's not combative. And because at the end of the day, professionals want to help and they've never been taught about this. You know, we do get the curse of knowledge a little, you know, it's true. We get it because we give you a lot of good, useful information. Are you hopeful about your boy's future?
I am. I'm completely. Another thing that I did learn was that, you know, there's every possibility that he could go on and live on his own. He may meet a nice lady. However, there's every possibility also that he will need to live with me interdependently for the rest of his life. And that was hard to take. That was, you know, there are some modules in there that there's a grief module in there, for instance. And I don't want to put anybody off because it was hard, but I needed to do it.
You're not the first one, Angeline. With these case studies, you're not the first one to mention grief and loss.
Yeah. And it's not, when I said hard, it's not hard. It's challenging. I like to say challenging.
It's work. It's an important module. Yeah. And and oftentimes that's where I get the biggest feedback is I'm glad I went through that. Right. It's because that's what makes people stuck. You get stuck there, right? You know, living in the past, you know, regretting the present and fearing the future, right? Like, and you get stuck. And so just because you thought it was going to be one way and it's a different way, it could be different, better. Like, it doesn't mean it's any less. And it's just a natural part of this. And so you're not the first one to relay that was helpful.
Yeah. As far as his future goes, I will just continue to support him the best way that I can with the fabulous knowledge that I've picked up. And I'm just rolling with it. If he needs to live interdependently with me, then I'm cool with that. That's fine. I'm making amends to my child every single day. Yeah. And, you know, that's part of it. If he needs to live with me, and if he decides to move out, maybe he'll be in supported accommodation. Maybe the sky's really the limit for him. He's accommodated. And, you know, I never like to say there's anything he can't do, but I do realize that there are very big limitations with what he can do, because the kickstart thing was about the dismaturity. I understand so much more now about dismaturity that, you know, at some levels he's 12, his reading is actually above 12, But socially and emotionally, especially in distressing situations, he's functioning at about 3, 4, maybe.
And if I you're just more stimulation, right? Or less sleep or whatever the case may be, it just makes it worse, right? Like it impedes his functioning even more.
Yeah. So being able to learn about that, I was able to pass it on to the school, which is sort of, you know, don't expect him to act his age. He is. Like he's doing the best he can. Yeah,
he is. He's doing the absolute best. But you've come out of your shell too, right? Like you've been doing some great things, you know, advocating on Twitter. I've heard you on podcasts. You were a speaker at a conference, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, yes. Cool. What else are you doing or what else do you want to do?
I'm currently also working with the University of Queensland. We're working on the new diagnostic code for FASD and things like that. So I'm part of the lived experience group and we're all putting input into how it should look, you know, how it should be diagnosed, what the diagnosis criteria is. So that's really exciting. The webinar was part of the Victoria Special Interest FASD Special Interest Group. So yeah, we've got a couple of bio mums there as well. And yeah, we're just getting out there, telling our stories. And you know, it's really important, although I was physically dependent on alcohol, it's really important to mention that FASD can occur at low level drinking as well. So, you know, that's my particular passion is for women who are physically dependent because that's where I come from. And how can we help them and how can we help their kiddos from then on? But, you know, I also want to be very, very aware that there are cases of low-level drinking FASD as well. So, yes, just getting it all out there, all of the advocation and all that kind of stuff. But I just wanted to make it clear that it really burns me that people assume that fetal alcohol spectrum disorder will only occur in babies like my son, where a person has been an alcoholic. So I'm sort of trying to blast that myth out of the water as well, simply because of the massive prevalence of FASD here in Australia. And in fact, on the planet, there are a lot of, no doubt, undiagnosed or misdiagnosed FASD kiddos getting around and having a really, really hard time in life. So yeah, my passion is I would like FASD to roll off the tongue as easy as ASD or ADHD do. That's sort of my goal with FASD. I guess that's everybody's goal. And I will just keep going with that. So the webinar was really scary because that was basically me telling my story, warts and all. And I don't mind anybody checking that. I mean, it went out there on Twitter, so it's there. And it is my whole story if anybody's interested in listening to my whole story, because I'm very, very, at the moment, my burning desire at the moment is for people to understand that every FASD child has two stories. There's mum's story first and then kiddo's story after that. And they're very much entwined, one and the same. So for bio mums like me that still have their kiddos with them, it's just really important for them to, you know, not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed if there's...
And what would you say? What would you say to a bio mom who's maybe apprehensive, like you were, about joining the Caregiver Kickstart coaching program? What would you say to them?
I would say I have an acronym for that kind of fear, and it's false evidence appearing real. And it was exactly that, false evidence appearing real kind of fear. So jump on in. It's okay to be apprehensive. I was, absolutely. But jump on in. I'm just trying to, there's so many things that I like about this. There's the camaraderie. When we're on calls, I'm learning from other people all of the time about what's happening with them. There's real empathy with everybody. People are learning what to do, but at the same time, we're also learning absolutely what not to do because somebody else has done it and it hasn't worked.
Yeah, so, and then some will say, okay, look what I did. I screwed up. But they don't get shamed for it. Everyone just goes, we've been there.
Yeah, and it's a learning experience. And I was watching one of the recordings from a little while ago, just yesterday, of one of our group sessions, and it was just fabulous. Everybody's jumping in and helping everybody, and people are whacking up their hands straight away. Someone's in trouble with something, people are throwing up their hands, chatting in the chat straight away. I've done this, have you tried this? And other people are saying, oh no, I haven't tried that. So it's just a group that's feeding off each other, and we're learning really important stuff within the modules that are presented. And that stuff, for me personally, has fed into my confidence for advocacy, because it's really shown me that I'm not alone. There are people all over the world that I am invested in now, and they're invested in my life and my child's life. So
and your story is worthy of telling, and you have the confidence to tell it. Do you ever look back and say, like, do you realize how far you've come?
Sometimes no. Sometimes I was out in the garden the other day and I had a little moment when I thought, wow, you know, there was a point in your life when you were drinking 24/7. Then there was and nothing else. And yeah, it's phenomenal how far I've come. And I owe a lot of it to the Caregiver Kickstart program. That really got me out of my shell. And yeah, it was hard. I'm going to tell a funny story, because it was just this important to me after I'd watched the free videos. It was this important to me to get involved with the rest of the course, because our time zones are so different. I got an email saying last chance. I was asleep. My purse was not with me because I was at my partner's place. So it ended up being this waking him up in the middle of the night. Where's your credit card? I need to do this. It's last chance. And the rest was history. And, you know, I was just so, so pleased. As soon as I saw the last chance thing, I thought, this isn't going to come for another year. So
yeah, just one year.
I really did have to just take a leap, though. I was scared. I was anxious. I was apprehensive. And yeah, I'm so, so pleased. And as far as how far I've come, I never give myself the credit that I probably deserve.
You deserve, man. It's like, it's everyone, when you come on a call, you're like, not to use an alcohol reference, but I can't think of another one, like Norm from Cheers. Right. When Angela shows up, you know, like everyone's like, hey, you're right about that camaraderie. And I could see like just your confidence, and you asked awesome questions and you kept asking the question until you got it. Right. So you'd be like, right. So you're saying blank. And then I'm just glad that we're able to be a part of that journey with you, because you are going to eclipse me, my dude. You are just onto it. And I just can't see. I can't wait, honestly, to what you do in the future. And I'm glad your partner let you use his credit card, you know, just so you were able to get in. I could talk to you for hours, honestly.
I think you'd probably, for our listeners, I think you'd probably remember that. I sent you a messenger in a...
It's on my Twitter. It's on my Twitter.
I'm this really scared person just saying, oh, I've used my partner's credit card. Yeah. Can I switch it back to... Like, I was so scared of you. I was so scared.
Well, I was scared of me? Why would you be scared of me?
Scared of everything. I was scared of...
That's fair. Because of
the stigma. You know, when I first... My pinned tweet on Twitter says that I consumed alcohol and that my child has FASD, or fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. And it does say after that, I didn't mean to hurt my baby. And I mean that. Even it's hard for people to understand with alcoholism or even heavy drinking or any drinking in pregnancy. No mother sets out to hurt her child. There's a lot of different circumstances, but yeah, everybody just... get on board. If you're bio mums, I'll be hanging around. Get on board. It's really, really cool. It changed my life. It pushed my advocacy forward. It gave me this confidence. I didn't have this kind of confidence. And I don't think I would have pulled the Twitter trigger if I hadn't have been part of this group. And I knew that there were people behind me. I knew that people had my back. And I knew that by that, you know, I kind of knew my stuff. And just thank you. Thank you. And everybody that's looking at doing the Caregiver Kickstart program, I highly recommend it. And I'm not just saying that because I'm alumni. I'm a birth mum. It helped immensely with the grief. It helped me learn to see that other people's situations can be even more difficult than mine. It's extremely shameful to be a birth mum, but I get the added superpower of being a birth mum. So I could disclose how much alcohol I drank. I wasn't relying on total or third party evidence. I was able to disclose exactly how much I drank, which helped with diagnoses. And so, and also there's, I guess, the biological bond as well. And I don't say this with any disrespect to our fosters or adoptive parents. I'm sure that they would agree that quite often when kids come into care, they come with a bucket load of trauma, which is another thing that we have to deal with and that the kids have to deal with also. So it has shown me that, you know, I did drink throughout my pregnancy. I have, and I can accept and acknowledge and see now that I have done every possible thing that I could possibly have done after that. And the other thing I would like to say is that if there are any birth mums out there who haven't had a really early diagnosis, it doesn't matter. Anytime a diagnosis comes in, it's okay. Even people that have been diagnosed at 35 have had better outcomes from there. That is my understanding. Is that correct, Jeff?
Yeah, you've had RJ. Look at RJ.
Yeah, I just don't want
47. Was he 47 or 57? Oh, don't hate me, RJ. But nonetheless,
I believe.
When Rainier, he was in his 50s when he got his. It's never too late. And and Rainier, you know, was able to then rectify, and he was one of the podcasts. You guys could go back and listen to a previous episode, but he near end of life for his mom, and it's never too late.
Yeah. And I don't want anybody to be disheartened and think that they can't have good outcomes if they haven't got a really early diagnosis, because anytime there's a diagnosis, things make a lot more sense, you know, especially with FASD. And another important thing that I did learn, my speech therapist learned actually, is that she has now applied a very, very different form of therapy. Speech therapy for my son, which is chronologically much older. He should have grown out of it 5 years ago. But and it was only after watching your videos that she had an aha. Oh, okay. I'm teaching this child as a 12-year-old and I'm applying the therapies that I would for ESD. So it's like behavioral change and push him. She said, I realize now that for him, won't means can't, whereas with some of my ASD kids, won't means won't. So I really push them. So pushing the FASD child, no, that doesn't work at all. So yeah, the caregiver kickstart helped me. It helped my son. It's given me confidence. It's given me camaraderie. It's given me friendship. It's given me strength. And it's just been everything. Like, I don't want to blow smoke up your ass either, but it really literally has changed my life, and it's changed our days. We are having better days every day because of what I've learned. I have no doubt that I would have been stuck back in my shame rut. I know I would have been without that grief and loss module that I went through. So with healing, learning, confidence building, it's been everything. I highly recommend it. And especially birth mums, get on. I'm going to be there.
You say this better than I do. Yeah, you talk about this better than I do, Angeline.
Not possible.
You're incredible. And just thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for talking about that. Thank you for
being here. You are most welcome.
I really appreciate your rule. Angeline, you are a flipping star. Thank you so much for doing this, honestly, sharing your story. We love having you in the group. We love talking to you, and you are so full of hope and inspiration. And I hope you felt that way too, guys, during the actual interview. She's amazing. You can see now why I had to make it a podcast and not just a case study for the wider audience. And I hope maybe your perspective changed on birth moms to see that how hard they're trying, even though they're battling an illness, a disease, alcoholism, addiction, substance abuse. Nobody ever wants to hurt their baby. And if we support them enough, they could get through this instead of discarding them and give the stigma and it's willful and purposeful. It's just not factual. It is not true. Everyone wants to be loved and liked. And, you know, we want society to understand our kids and to take what we say seriously and no stigma about FASD, and they could have strengths and do really good things. And so can birth moms. So can birth moms. I love what she was talking about. And I agree that there's two stories going on. There's a story of the mom and there's the story of the kid. Dr. Gail Andrews, I've said this 100 times on the program and I'll say it again, is that diagnosis of FASD means there's a diagnosis for two. There's a diagnosis for mom and the baby. All right. And there's so many Angelines out there. We just have to believe in them and foster them and help them and love them. And people can do incredible things. Mothers can do incredible things. Mothers are amazing. Mothers have this strength that Trump dudes, like, I'm just going to say it, you know? You know how I know that? See the comparative of when a dad has a cold and a mom has a cold. Okay, and I'm a dad. Just the strength is excellent. Okay, I want to go through a few things and then get you out of here. First, our word matters. Our tone matters. Not only does your loved one on the spectrum, they could feel tone. They might be able to feel tone. They might be able to get that vibe of when we are being dismissive or not listening or not taking them serious. Our words matter how we talk to birth moms. She was talking about the doctor who, you know, told her to stop drinking. Of course, easier said than done when you're not dealing with substance abuse, right? But how her doctor spoke, just always keep in mind our tones, our words. She went through relapse. She did everything she could to mitigate the issues with harm reduction, which is what you're supposed to do. And listen to this. She relapsed, lost custody, and then still gives the father credit, because if the dad wasn't around, then she would have had to go to foster care. So still with that, thanks for that. You know, she said when birth moms are in the system, it's hard to get out. She had to do lots of undignified things every single week. And this is society in general, but we tell moms who have substance abuse to get sober, they get sober, we give the kids back, it still might not work out. And in fact, it'll probably crumble because we're not dealing with the actual issue. Absolutely, substance abuse is, but we're not dealing with the issues of adaptive functioning, executive functioning. We're not putting those supports so we can help them through the day-to-day, help them with their families, and that's why it fails. So we say, okay, you're sober, but sober doesn't mean that it increases their functioning to a level that overrides their organic issues that they have. So not only when someone's sober, but they need that support long term. So if a mom's on the spectrum, or moms need support, it doesn't matter what the diagnosis is, what you're dealing with, and especially in the pandemic. Mama, you're burnt out. I get it. So you need support. Literally, that's why we have designed the Caregiver Kickstart Workshop and our full-blown coaching course, because I know that. We know that. She mentioned 3 videos. That's the way we used to do it. She sent the 3 videos to her therapists. You can still do that. Once we do the live sessions, there will be recordings. That's how you get people on board, is you share them, the live sessions with me, or you invite them to the actual Caregiver Kickstart Workshop. You can invite them. It's going to be me. And I'm going to do my best to keep it entertaining and lively and not finger pointing, but also let people know that this is what you guys are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And teachers might not be able to see it. Family members might not be able to see it, what you really deal with. So not only do I want to help other folks get what you're going through, but also to see how hard you're freaking working, and then to get on your team so you could pull the rope the same way together. She said she knew a lot about FASD until she took our full-blown coaching course. I hear that all the time. So if you're thinking about that, I'm interested not only in the free workshop, I'll check that out, but also I might be interested in taking your full-blown coaching course, but I know a lot about FASD. Well, I tell you what. You're going to learn here. You're going to learn. What we ended up doing was, here's a little insider tip. We give like a 30-day money-back guarantee. But I'm telling you, if aha moments aren't going off like a 1920s movie premiere, right, those flashbulbs, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. Doesn't matter how much you know about the disability. And the thing is you could know everything about FASD, but what do you do when you're emotionally involved? What do you do when it's your family? It's hard. It's hard to separate it, right? So that's why keeping it top of mind, having a community is so important. She was apprehensive at first. She was apprehensive at first because of the stigma of being a birth mom, but also apprehensive, is this going to work for me? Is this going to help me? But now she knows that people are so welcoming. This is one of the biggest aspects, is the welcome. You are amongst friends. You don't have to sit here when you join the full coaching program. You'll experience this in the workshop, but you'll see that you don't have to explain your kids. You don't have to justify their symptoms and their behaviors, because everybody else is going through it. They all get it. We've moved past that, and there's no stigma, and there's absolutely no judgment. And so not only is she realized how welcoming the group is, but now she has friends and she's invested in the other kids. She has friends, she said, and she has friends that get it. So here are the aha moments, okay? Because with every case study that we do, it's not like, how great everything is, but what freaking works? What works for her? Here's aha moment number one. Less talking. She's a fast talker. She learned that her loved one, her boy Shay, has slow auditory and cognitive processing. So talking fast, talking too much often overwhelms the boy. now talking less, talking slower, but not facetiously, giving them time to find the information, organize the information, and find the response. If you're talking too much, talking too fast, that's why you may get the response of, I don't know, or no, or when your loved one gives a response that quick, and it's either I don't know or no, that could be the issue. So she talked about less talking. Another aha moment she noticed was not to chase when he is upset. He is in his fight or flight. So as long as he's safe, and if he's going to a safe space like his room or somewhere in the house that is safe and he's not hurting himself or somebody else, do not chase. Do not talk. And of course, one of the big things she learned, and what everyone will learn, is about grief and loss that comes with learning about interdependence. And she didn't want to scare people away, and you shouldn't be, because we have modules and we go through this, and it's a constant theme throughout the full program, is when you go through and you do some grief and loss work, not only does it put things in perspective, does it make more sense, but when you're going to come out of the other side, you're going to be breathing better. You're going to breathe better, you're going to enjoy parenting, and you are not going to be as frightened. So you're going to know what to do about that stuff, right? I like what she said. She said, I would like FASD to roll off the tongue the same way and as easily as ASD does. So, like, get this. She's a birth mom, relapsed and struggling, got her boy, dealing with the system. And from not only did she rebound and take care of all that, and she's managing that, now she wants to get after it. And if you find that you want to get after it and you want to become an advocate, we deal with that too. This is the best part. She was at the point in her life when she was drinking 24/7, and now she's working with universities. I win. If I never helped another person in my entire life, that makes me so proud. It makes me feel so good. And then she says, we are having better days every day. Awesome. 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 Do you want that? Do you want better days? That's a rhetorical question, isn't it? Of course you do. Go to, like, just give me a chance, right? Give me a chance to show you that I could do it. I could help you. So that's why we're doing the free workshop. So all you have to do is show up, and I will deliver, and I will work so hard, and then to invite you to our full-blown coaching program. Well, I'm going to take you on an even deeper journey for 6 months, but you can come. Doesn't cost you zip. You can check out the style and how I roll and how I teach and how I do all that good stuff. So if you love the podcast, it's just more of Jeffy. It's just more of me, but it's a two-way street now. So what happens is when you become a part of that new cohort, I'm coaching you now. And guess what? I got other coaches too. I'll tell you about that in the workshop. You do not have to live like you're living. You don't have to sit there and be bawling at night, worried about what's going to happen when you die. How are you going to manage your kids in the future? How are you going to just even hold your effing household together? Because this works. I've been doing it for so many freaking years now. And during the workshop and in the private workshop group, I'm just going to be showing you so much freaking success. Angeline is one of like 25 that I have that I'm going to be sharing with you. So if you're not ready to walk through a wall, like, I don't know what else to do for you, because success can happen. You do not have to do this alone. So come do it with us. Come do it with me. I freaking love you. The workshop starts on the 18th. That's www.fasdsuccess.com/cksworkshop. Come jump in. Let's get after it. I freaking love you. Keep grinding. I'll see you here back next week, or I'll see you in the private Facebook group. All right. Until then, love you. Bye.